I forgot what I was supposed to say.
You're supposed to say the name of the podcast and then introduce the host, JT Foreman.
It's Bitter Comics, right?
Yes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bitter Comics podcast. Here's your host, JT Foreman.
Yay, I knew you could do it. Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman, and I am here with my good friend, Carl Hay Gray. I should have come up with a better nickname than that.
That was great.
Carl the Hay Gray. See, the last time it was Carl the Dates of Black Girl Gray, but
I'm never going to get
that. Try to get a new one. I'm sorry.
It's part of who I am.
Horrible person. It is who you are. It's because we're all the rest of us white people are so racist.
You are. It's funny.
I am a racist person. Hello, and
it's a good way to start it off. Racist. Hi. Continue.
Well, you know. Well, we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So for my insensitivity in episode 43, I would like to apologize to black people, Elvis, both Elvis Presley and Elvis Costello.
Okay.
Kevin Nealon, our listeners, the word retarded, Forrest Gump, and Home Alone.
You know what I was noticing? Last time I was here too, you had to apologize to black people. So anytime you have to apologize to black people, I'm immediately here for the next podcast. Have you noticed this?
Actually, I've apologized to black people every podcast.
Have you really?
Yes. The beginning of every podcast. Episode 3 was the first podcast when I apologized. It's not that I wasn't offensive in episode 1. I should have apologized in episode 2, but I neglected to. In episode 3 was the first one I issued an apology at the beginning, and I apologized to black people first, and I have apologized to black people every episode since.
Have you offended black people every episode?
You know, even if I don't offend them, then I'm neglecting them. So either way, I owe an apology.
So either you're racist or you completely don't even accept them?
I think ignoring black people is worse than being racist against them. Yes, I think it is. I'm a white guy. I probably owe a black person an apology for that.
Just because you're white?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Let her float your boat, bud.
Well, if anyone out there would like to know why I'm apologizing, please check out our previous episode, episode 43, and all of our episodes, actually, at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, just go to that website, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using Google, My Yahoo, or iTunes. When you click on it, it'll just automatically open up iTunes and ask you if you want to subscribe and everything. So just go to there. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put whatever you want. I didn't think of something cool to say this week. Usually I try to think of something clever and witty for the previous, you know, kind of based on something from the previous episode to put in the subject line. But I didn't really come up with anything this time. Maybe something like Forrest Gump meets Home Alone is a horrible movie pitch. You know, something like that.
It's too long to put in a...
Yeah, that's true.
Why don't they just put Fuck JT?
Fuck JT.
A short...
Just put Fuck JT in the subject line.
Or they could
even do F-U-J-T. F-U-J-T.
What, 4 letters?
Fudged.
Can we talk about something real quick?
Yes, we can. What would you like to talk about, Carl?
I
want
to talk about why the hell there's so many people in the library on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, first of all, Carl, thanks for coming. Okay. I appreciate your being a guest on my show. And secondly, now, why are there so many people in the library? Well, I'm looking out in the library and I see 5 people.
But that's
just right in front of us by the conference rooms.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah, it is a Sunday and it's raining. You know, I don't know. I mean, we could go ask them.
I don't want to get involved.
You know, I should get a cordless microphone so I can walk around the library and interview people during the podcast sometime.
People in a library on a Sunday are very entertaining.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? It's either this or church, and I think the library is more interesting.
Well, I was thinking about it too. It's like they're all, you can tell, like, it looks like they're all like this. They're being tutored right there. That's a typical, like, Asian
they're all
tutor.
being studied.
Yeah, they're all studying, but that's what I kind of like about doing stand-up is, like, we don't have to do school. Like, we don't have to do any of that. Like, this isn't something that we would be doing. We wouldn't be stuck here on a Sunday, like, worrying about grades, you know? It's kind of nice.
What do we do, though? I mean, we're just worried about coming up with a new joke.
Or... Yeah, we do. We drink. We do drugs. We lose control of our life. Yeah. Well, you don't, huh? No.
Where's my drugs?
I don't know. That's on you.
Feel left out.
That's the thing, too. It's really hard to get comedians anywhere. I'm surprised we're here on a Sunday.
Actually, that's true. Well, yeah, this is, they let me use the room for free.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, pretty much. If that's the reason I'm here.
And this is your block of free time?
Yeah, kind of. I had to reserve the room a week in advance. And
wow.
Pretty much. So how are you doing, Carl? Anything exciting going on lately?
No, I'm just trying to get back into going on stage. It's been a while. I'm rusty, so I just don't want that.
Oh, cool. I actually haven't been up in a couple of months now. I started working evenings during the week, so I haven't been able to go to any of the open mics there all during the week. So
you miss it, huh? But,
yeah, I do. I miss doing comedy. I miss making people laugh, and I really enjoy it. You know, it's like one of the few true joys in my life, and I do miss it.
Is it hard balancing your relationship that you're in now? I don't know if you've ever talked about that, your relationship and then having time for funny. Have you had to do that yet?
That hasn't come up yet, but I'm sure that it will. I'll be honest with you. If it's a choice between sex and comedy, I'm going to choose sex. If it's a choice between just a regular date and comedy, I'm probably going to choose comedy. In fact, I will choose comedy, and I hope she doesn't listen to my podcast.
Does she go to your shows, or has she even had that opportunity?
She's gone once, and she said I wasn't very funny.
She said, you're not funny.
No, not at all. The rest of the audience disagreed with her. They were all laughing.
I thought you know
but she did not think I was funny.
Because usually the person you're with thinks you're not funny at all.
Yeah.
That's what I go through. Well, my girlfriend just rolls her eyes a lot.
Yeah, well, she is she rolling her eyes because she doesn't think it's funny or because...
She's black? Is that what you're going to go for? Is that your line? Sorry, I just had to throw that out there.
No, I was not. This wasn't racism. This was sexist, okay?
Okay.
I was going to say because women just don't understand what funny things, what is funny and what's not. I was going to be sexist, not racist. Sexist, and, yes.
I'm sorry. I figured you were going to go that way.
Well, you're the one talking about the booby prints on the whiteboard here in the conference room.
Well, I mean, okay. And what JT's talking about is we came in to do a podcast, and apparently there's a math equation that I shit you not is about 7 feet off the ground.
There's a big whiteboard on one end of the conference room here, and there's this gigantic mathematical equation on here. There are more letters than numbers in this equation, which I still just confuses me. But it's also about figuring out what something called V with the accent mark is. This is at the very bottom, there's a V with the little accent equals, and then this giant... mishmash of stuff.
It's a clusterfuck of math.
Yeah, there's just a clusterfuck of math up here. I was good at math when I was when I was a kid until it got confusing. I mean, you give me 2 + 2 all day, I can handle it.
I think like
as long as there's just numbers, I'm good. As soon as you start throwing in some of these weird new symbols or too many more than one variable, I'm just fucked.
Well, this is what I don't get. Like you're looking at this with me, and like I said, it's a huge equation. Explain to me at what point in my life I need this.
Well, you in your life, probably not. But there are occupations that do need this kind of stuff. I don't need to know this, but I need the guy who's designing the building to know this. Because, I mean, there's a drawing up in the top left, so I assume this is some kind of geometry thing. Someone who's like an architect would need to know this kind of stuff.
This isn't geometry. This is a fucked up alphabet. That's what it is. You know, and we talked about it earlier, but not.
You know, they might be just making, one of these days I want to come in here and I just want to draw a whole bunch of random numbers and letters so anyone else who walks in assumes it's some sort of equation and feels like an idiot because they don't understand it. We might be getting punked here.
No,
this is math punking.
This is what gets someone off.
They draw it up here, and it's like no one's going to be able to figure this out.
To talk about is the fact that whoever did this, like, is either on a ladder or is really, really tall.
and has big boobies. Because you're right. I mean, there's...
It just hits there's all like, this equation.
There's marks on the board as if someone with large breasts got too close, their breasts rubbed up against it, and just kind of cleaned this one little oval space spot.
It's just, it's weird. I don't know. I'm happy that in my life I don't need to apply this to any situation. Imagine if we wrote jokes like that. Like, if you wrote them out mathematically like this. It's like couch plus me plus good time, you know, over black people.
Yeah, over black people.
Minimum wage. Like, if you put all your jokes into something like that. You know what I mean? And
I'm going to have to do a joke equation some one of these days.
Seriously.
Awesome. So... All right, so how is your life? How are things going with you?
It's good, man. It's good. Like I said, I'm trying to get back into getting on stage. I'm going to try to go up Monday night. I want to go up Tuesday night.
Yeah, there's a new open mic that started Monday nights. Where is that?
It's at Ty Palms.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Aaron Stewart is holding an open mic at Ty Palms on Monday night.
They must be doing good. Well, they must be the fact that they're opening on Monday night there. It's kind of like, it seems like Ty has kind of gone the direction of just comedy all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's, of course, it's a Thai restaurant. But, you know, like 3 years ago, Aaron got them to start doing a comedy show on Wednesday nights, and then they start doing them on weekends. Now they have comedy shows on every Friday and Saturday night and on Wednesdays, and they're doing the open mic on Monday. I'm wondering when he's going to change it from Thai Palms to just the, you know, Thai Palms restaurant to just start calling it Thai Palms Comedy.
One of those hacky comedy names.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you laugh long time.
you laugh long time.
You raff wrong time.
That's still racist, but at least it's not racist against black people. Black. Yeah, no, it's okay to make fun of Asians.
No,
as long as you don't talk about.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I don't do it to make fun of like Asians. I just like using R's instead of L's. I think it's fun. Yeah.
Well, the weird thing this is something that I've noticed recently is the Asian people who have trouble with that particular part of the pronunciation. It's not that they can't say R's and L's; it's that they do them backwards.
How so? Explain.
Raff out loud. Okay, but if it starts with an L, they'll say Lodger instead of Roger.
Oh, okay, so they just switch the two.
Yeah, they'll reverse the R's and the L's.
I don't know. I think it's cool. I don't know. And it has nothing with racism or anything like that. I just like, instead of an L, use an R. I think it's cool.
I think accents are kind of neat as long as they're not so strong that you can't understand what they're saying. I do like the diversity of it. You know, different voices, but it's only on certain people. Like I talked about this recently. I like the Southern accent when a woman is speaking.
Like the y'all and
yeah,
twang.
But when a guy is speaking, they sound like an idiot. That's just, you know, that's my prejudice against Southern people. Sue me. The British accent is the same. But the accent is so strong that the accent is so strong that I can't understand what they're saying. And if I could at least identify where that accent is from, then it wouldn't bother me so much. Like Eulalio Magana.
Oh.
I don't think even Mexican people know what he's saying.
I don't think anybody does. And he's a nice guy, but
yeah, he is. But it just, I can't understand him half the time. And then he gets
frustrated at you, right?
Yeah, that's the worst thing. Is that when someone has a really, really strong accent and you can't understand them, they get mad at you.
Like it's your problem. You know.
Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault that you are not speaking the language properly. I mean, you know, and I wonder if people would get pissed if I were to go and like learn Japanese and try to speak.
That's a hard one. Why would you go for that?
Just
go for Spanish.
Well, I just threw one out there. I'll say Filipino because my girlfriend's Filipino. And so I've been thinking I should try to learn a little bit of Filipino at least. Just, you know, a few words like, you know, blowjob and make dinner.
How much do I owe you?
How much do I owe you? Yeah. Okay. But, you know, I wonder if I can't imagine that there wouldn't be a pretty strong accent of some kind in that. Like,
well, it's like, I mean, when you try to, like,
but what accent do I have? I mean, you have the white guy accent, or I don't know.
There's no accent. I mean, it's just, it's an American. I don't know. It sounds kind of stupid, but you gotta have an American accent.
Yeah.
You're American. But if you went, you know, if you try to do Spanish or something like that, it's like, think about how bad we sound when we show up somewhere and we're like, oh, you know, buenos dias, you know, me llamo Carl.
Miyamo Caro.
Soy de Napa Valley. Yeah, like, and they look at us like, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah, I never could figure out how to roll my R's. Which drove, yeah.
That'll help you in a lot of areas of life if you learn how to do that.
Yeah, especially with your girlfriend, if you can roll your R's. Yeah. Oh, if you can. It's all about being able to vibrate your tongue quickly. We're going to take a break real quick with the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so the list I wanted to do this week is off of a website called Audi.com, but I can't seem to get onto the internet.
At a library.
At the library. Their internet, I mean, my laptop, it says it's connected, but I can't access any websites. I can't figure out what's wrong. So, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that list. You know, the internet is putting libraries out of business because no one goes to the library. They just Wikipedia everything.
Yep.
Encyclopedia Britannica just closed down. They stopped printing.
You know, it's funny. Like a couple weeks
before. It's like 240 years. They've been doing a new edition of the Encyclopedia every year for 240 years, and they just went out of business.
Well, it amazes me that people are still buying it.
Yeah.
I thought they went out of business like in 2000. Like, yeah. And someone told me, well, actually I read it, I think it was on Yahoo, and I was like, I didn't even know it was still open. Like,
well, I think it was Microsoft. They originally approached Encyclopedia Britannica about doing a CD-ROM encyclopedia, and Britannica said no. So that's why they went to Encarta. You remember the Encarta Encyclopedia?
That went well too, right?
Yeah, and so if you can spend $1,000 on these books that's going to be out of date pretty much after it's printed, or you can buy these CDs and then download updates, and it's going to cost a lot less, and then it's got like videos and animation and stuff and things. I mean, that's...
Can you imagine too, like whoever was in selling Encyclopedia at the end,
yeah,
they had to be like the best salesman, because... You're like, hey, you got the internet, but look at these books that are going to take up a whole fucking wall of your house.
Well, I don't know if you remember this or not. Well, you don't remember it. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but what's his name? Kerry, the Massachusetts senator, ran for president in 2004. What's his first name?
Oh, my God. John Kerry?
John Kerry. When he came back from the Vietnam War, he testified before Congress about, I believe his famous quote is, "Who wants to be the last person to die for a mistake?" You know, talking about the Vietnam War, and I imagine the last encyclopedia salesman is probably thinking something similar. Who wants to be the last person to lose their house for a mistake?
I remember. I remember my grandma was like,
I'm going to have to apologize to Vietnam next week.
My grandma was like, you know, like she wanted to pass me down some encyclopedias. And it's like, what the fuck do I do with this? Like, I don't have a wall for this.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's sad too, because at one time, those were like the coolest things. But it's like, it just shows you what technology does.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, literally too, if you think about podcasts are going to eliminate the need for radio. Because how nice is it that you can download something you want to watch on your time?
And yeah, listen to it when you want to. I mean, the advantage that radio has is that the radios are everywhere right now, and you just turn it on and there it works. You don't have to do anything. But like with podcasts, you have things services like Stitcher, where you get that on your smartphone and it downloads a new episode of whatever you have programmed into it as soon as it becomes available, and then you listen to it whenever in the mood. Or actually, no, Stitcher works where it's just streaming.
Yeah,
you go onto it and you listen to it when you want. You don't even have to download it. You just when you're in the mood to listen to it, you go ahead and listen to it. So, you know, I'm surprised that radio is still going as well as it is.
I don't think it is. I mean, there's still people. There's still kind of like those people that are holding on to it. But at the same time, I mean, what I was thinking about, I have satellite radio, and I listen to that here and there. But I'm more and more switching to, you know, I have Pandora. Pandora costs me, what, like not even 30 bucks a year, commercial-free music, and Stitcher Radio and things like that. So it's kind of, I mean, what's the need? Because I don't have the time to, I don't want to listen to advertisements. I don't want to do anything like that.
Well, it's actually, I don't mind listening to advertisements, but I just think they're putting too many of them on. Like, I was watching a movie yesterday on TNT, and it was driving me nuts how many commercial breaks there were and how long they were. Collateral, I think it was on. Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx?
Yes.
Yeah, and I've actually seen the movie before, but you know, I was like, well, this is on, I'll watch this, because I was just wasting time waiting for something, or waiting for my date to start, basically. I was waiting for 7 o'clock to roll around when I was supposed to go pick her up. And the commercial breaks seem so long. I mean, it seems even longer because I know what's happening in the movie, and I know what's coming up, and I'm just, it was just driving me nuts waiting for something I knew. I already knew what was going to happen. Maybe that was part of the problem, is that I've seen it before. But if I remember right, it's 22 minutes out of every 30 is the show, mm-hmm. and the other 8 will be pretty commercial breaks.
All depending on how good
that's a lot. Yeah. You know, and I can get behind the idea of the show is free, but I'm paying with a little bit of extra time watching commercials. That's how I see it. That's how I'm paying for the service of watching the show.
But at the same time,
but I'm already paying $100 a month for cable. So why am I paying $100 a month for cable and watching the commercials? That's the part that I think is bullshit. Like the podcast that I listen to, Adam Carolla, the Nerdist podcast, all this other stuff. They have, WTF, they have commercials on them, and that's fine because I get to download them for free. If I were paying to download those and there were commercials on them, I would be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's the biggest thing that pisses me off about cable, is that I'm paying to have these channels, but then I also have to pay by watching commercials.
No, I completely agree. It's just going to be interesting to see, because, you know, sooner or later, what's going to happen with radio and then what's going to happen to cable? Because cable's already starting to lose out on those things.
Yeah, well, you know, what I would really like to see is you don't have to buy the whole package. You can just pick the channels that you want to buy, that you want to watch, and just pay for those. But a whole lot of the cable stations would end up going out of business because, mm-hmm. like, who's going to, even if it's only 50 cents a month, a quarter a month, who's going to buy C-SPAN? Not enough people
to
keep it in business. As it is now, it's like every one of those cable stations, they get 1 penny per subscriber. It's about 1 cent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why things like C-SPAN are able to stay in business, is because they don't have enough viewers that it would keep them in business. They don't run any commercials on that one either. But because they're on the package, they're going to get money even though nobody's watching it.
That's stupid. That's a stupid system. I mean, because realistically, you want to pay for what you want to watch. That's why I would rather listen.
Yeah, I wish I could get HBO without having to have all the cable stuff or Showtime or whatever.
You
don't
have to have all 8 HBOs and HBO Latino, HBO. You know,
well, Cambodian. You know, all of those, you get HBO and it gives you all the HBO channels. I wish I could have HBO without having the basic cable.
Like, just pick your package.
But yeah,
but you can do that. Just go to the internet and download all the shit for free.
Well, that's true. That's true. But that's all of that stuff is available illegally, though. So
illegal.
Yeah, we here at Bitter Comics do not endorse the illegal downloading of copyrighted media. Okay. We might do it sometimes, but we don't endorse it.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. I was downloading something. I was downloading True Blood.
Exactly. Okay, so anyway, the list we were going to do, it was on Audi.com. I'll have to do it next week. But the list I'm going to do instead this week is, I got this off of Listverse earlier today. I copied and pasted it because I thought it was interesting. But these are the 10 greatest movie speeches of all time. Okay. You've been watching a movie and one of the characters that just kind of sits there and gives this big, long monologue. So these are the 10... What the guy who did this list thinks these are the 10 best ones of all time.
Okay.
Do you have any favorite movie speeches? Any?
The only one that comes to mind is that I can't. The only one I think of is the Braveheart one.
The brain fart one.
Braveheart.
Braveheart one. Okay.
I don't know. That's, as soon as you said that, freedom! That's all I thought. Yeah. And his little kilt and shit.
Yeah. Cool. I'm not sure which my favorite one is. I'll have to think about that. I know it's going to be something odd. I don't know. I'll think about it. But anyway, their list. Number 10, Matt Damon's speech in Good Will Hunting.
I don't remember it.
Don't remember it? Well, Ben Affleck is hitting on this chick that's going to Harvard. And, you know, he's pretending that he's a student at Harvard because he's trying to, you know, make the moves on the chick who's from
Harvard. Isn't he a janitor or some shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this dude comes in who is going to Harvard and starts asking him questions about, you know, stuff that he would know if he were going to Harvard, you know, classes and get starts him on a discussion about economics in Civil War era, which of course Ben Affleck doesn't know anything about. And then Matt Damon comes up and starts talking about economics in the Civil War era and points out a bunch of stuff that the dude didn't know. So basically, you know, the smart guy is showing up Ben Affleck, so Matt Damon comes in and shows him up.
Okay.
And of course Matt Damon ends up with the girl at the end.
Of course he was Matt Damon.
Of course he does. Number 9, Captain Coon's speech in Pulp Fiction.
Never seen it.
Christopher Walken. You've never seen Pulp Fiction?
No, and everybody gets mad at me. I'm not mad at you about it.
I just think that it this really was the best scene in that whole movie, because Bruce Willis's character, he's a boxer.
Yeah.
And this scene at the beginning of that part of the movie is showing him as a little kid. So they got like an 8-year-old kid sitting there, and Christopher Walken comes in. And he was in a POW camp in Vietnam with Bruce Willis's father.
Okay.
And tells him, I knew your dad, and he gave me something that he wanted me to give to you. And it was a watch. Without the band, it was just a watch. And Christopher Walken gives him a speech about how in order to keep the guards from finding the watch, he had hid it up his ass. For 2 years, I kept this uncomfortable hunk of metal in my ass, and now I give it to you.
That's the speech?
Yeah. It's an awesome speech. You got to check it out sometime if you get a chance.
I can't sit through that movie.
I've tried. My dad didn't like that movie at all either.
Should compare me to your dad. Great.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, old fuddy-duddy.
An old fart.
Yeah, you're an old fuddy-duddy. And what am I, since I'm using the word fuddy-duddy?
Yeah, I know. Wait a minute.
Even my dad would be like, fuddy-duddy, really? Really? You could have at least used old fart like Carl Gray would.
And then he sends you to your room.
And he sends me to my room. Actually, my dad never sent me to my room. We got spanked when we were kids.
My dad still gets spanked.
Yeah, that's true. My dad did weird stuff. Like, one time, I'm playing in the backyard, and I hear, Joel, come here. So I run inside. Yeah, Dad, what's up? Change the channel to 26. Click, click. It was before we had a remote control. I was like, okay. Anything else? No, that's it. Go back out and play.
So your dad was that lazy?
I was a remote control. He called me in from playing
to change the channel. You probably have some crazy, like, some traumatic issues because of that. Like, if you went to therapy and you'd just be like, I'm not a fucking remote. And you'd be all like.
Yes, you are.
Your house, you just have, like, 80,000 remotes. You have remotes in case the remotes break down.
No, remotes piss me off, actually, because universal remotes are never really universal. I can never seem to get them set so that I really only have to use one remote.
Well, that's because you always have like that one product that's like, oh, I got all this Sony, and then I have like, you know, Yeti. Like, I didn't even know Yeti made electronics. But yeah, it's like, yeah. There's no code anywhere.
Yeah.
Company's out of business.
Yeti.
I had to think of something obscure.
Number 8, Monty Brogan's speech in 25th Hour.
Never seen it. Well, I'm the worst person to do this list with,
damn,
too, by the way.
I had to do the movie list with the shut-in. Really?
I don't know. I'm too busy not watching movies. I don't know. My girlfriend gets mad at me, too. Like, I've never seen, like, Breakfast Club.
I knew a guy who'd never seen Star Wars. So.
I've seen that. I'll watch that. But, yeah. No. I don't watch much movies.
Yeah. Well, in the 25th Hour, it starred, Edward Norton. And he played a guy who, he was a drug dealer, and he was going to be going to jail. You know, he was already found guilty, and he's got to report to, you know, the prison to go in. And he's standing in front of a mirror talking to himself, and I think he used every racial slur in the book in this speech, just talking shit about how much he hates everyone, all the different kinds of people in his neighborhood. And the speech ends with him saying, but most of all, fuck you, because this is your own damn fault for becoming a drug dealer in the first place.
That's good. Sounds like a good movie. Then after that, he went out and made some dude bite the curb.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
No, Bite the Curb was a different movie.
Oh, okay. I remember I saw that movie.
Okay. Number 7, A Few Good Men. This was Tom Cruise's speech Did you ever see A Few Good Men?
Nope.
Or actually, it's not this. It was
Denzel's in that, right?
It was more of Jack Nicholson's speech. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I've heard that line.
Yeah. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. The truth is that this world has men with guns and blah, blah. Yeah, I don't remember the whole speech exactly.
No,
yeah,
you remember it. You just don't want to do it because you look bad because you're like, I've seen every fucking movie on this list.
I can't
list.
Do Jack Nicholson. Actually, I haven't seen every movie on this list, but I have seen most of them.
Okay. Let's see if I've seen any of them.
Okay, well, number six, the courtroom scene in To Kill a Mockingbird.
I saw it in school.
Well, see, that doesn't count. I mean, you were forced to watch it. I saw it in school, too. But, yeah,
you're old enough. You're probably at the school where it was filmed while it was being filmed.
I'm not that old, dude. I turned 40.
Okay, what'd you say earlier? Ago. Hubba Bubba or something?
Oh, but
Hubba Bubba. I remember close when enough. Hubba Bubba was a nickel.
I remember when Hubba Bubba was a gum. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. Next.
Number five, the drill instructor speech in Full Metal Jacket.
Never seen it.
We do not have racial bigotry here. There are no kikes. None of you are kikes, niggers, spicks, rednecks, wetbacks. I don't remember the rest of them. I just like.
But you do remember.
This was
all
a
of
great
it.
Excuse to say some racial slurs, and I used it.
Wow.
No, it was an awesome speech. He was an actual drill instructor in the Marine Corps, so they picked the right guy to play that.
That's the guy that's on all the shows now awesome. All the time, where he just yells.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in some insurance commercial too. You know what's funny is you made sure just
the guy's lying on the couch. I just feel like my parents didn't pay enough attention to me, so maybe we. Sorry, I don't remember exactly how it went. I just remember the look on his face.
It's got to be kind of interesting to think that he made a whole career off of yelling.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what? I hated my drill instructor. Or my boot. Actually, it was in the Navy. They're called company commanders in boot camp. And I hated those guys. And, you know, I remember the weirdest thing. I was at the McDonald's on the base after I'd gotten out of boot camp. I'm going to electronics school in Orlando, and I'm at the McDonald's on the base, and my company commander from boot camp comes up and he says, "Hey, foreman, how you doing? Good to see you, shipmate." And he's all nice and friendly to me and everything.
And that bugged you because he made you cry.
Really?
How about a bigger problem? The fact that there's a McDonald's on your base. That's not healthy. Like I don't want my country being defended by people.
Well, it could be worse. On the base in Norfolk, there are three McDonald's. And there are three bowling alleys.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a white trash embassy right there.
White trash embassy.
All you needed was a Walmart and three.
There was a Walmart nearby.
Oh, yeah. But it was trying to
No,
creep
actually,
its way
there
over
wasn't
there.
A Walmart nearby, but there was the.
Oh, you guys drew the line there, huh?
Yeah. You got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. Three McDonald's. You didn't draw one in between any of those?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. You know, the worst thing, got to talk about Walmart for a second here. The girl who sits next to me at work, we're going to take a break real quick. We'll get into the Walmartian thing as soon as we get back. I'm JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, so we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay, before we left, somehow Walmart came up, and I have to say something. The girl who sits next to me at work, she keeps sending me emails of photographs labeled as more pictures of Walmartians.
Yeah, the people of Walmart.com.
Yes. The people of Walmart, there's actually a website.
You've never seen the people of Walmart.com?
No, I haven't.
Where she's getting her pictures.
Oh, God.
It is.
Oh, my God, these are disgusting. You know, it's.
I call them sweatpant people.
It's bad enough when you see the skinny old guy wearing a dress. And you think, okay, that's just sad.
I'm just going to say, you just popped into my head, like, in a dress at Walmart.
I don't go to Walmart.
In a dress?
Excuse me.
Wear dresses?
I shop at Target.
Oh, you're a fancy man.
That's right. Fancy schmancy.
In your dress?
Yes, in my dress.
Your Sunday's best. JT's actually in a dress right now.
I am. I actually
With
am.
Clear heels. I didn't ask. I don't know clear where it came from. Continue.
Actually, they're
working, working nights,
they're
by
platform
the way.
Shoes. They're 6 inches tall, and there's a fish in each one swimming around in the water. Have you ever seen? I saw a pair of shoes like that in the.
I bet you
movie.
Did. How much did she cost you?
I'm
just kidding. Don't
I'm
going to
get you, sucker. I think was the name of the movie, and a pimp he'd been in jail for like 15 years, and when he gets out, he puts on the clothes that he wore when he went, So the fish are dead now. I don't remember if the fish were dead, but I remember they should be.
I don't think they're alive and living in a shoe for.
And he's walking wearing the 70s pimp outfit, walking around in 88. And everyone is laughing at him, of course. It was okay, Wall Martians. Oh, my gosh. One of the pictures showed this woman wearing spaghetti strap top. Uh-huh. And the picture is from behind, and she had cleavage.
Oh, she had back titties.
Yes. Titties. Oh, my God. How does that happen? How does the camera keep from breaking when you take that picture?
It's a lot of people like that.
So I told my neighbor at work not to send me any more pictures of Wall Martians because it's
too much to jerk off to.
Exactly. I can't handle it. It's just too much.
You got to write it down, dude. Peopleofwalmart.com.
People of Walmart. All right.
You're not writing it down.
I don't have a pen. Peopleofwalmart.com.
You have a whole recording studio.
Yeah, and I don't
in a backpack, and you don't have a fucking pen.
Yeah, peopleofwalmart.com. All right. Let's see. I have the notepad on my smartphone.
Of course we do.
And actually, I have the voice recognition thing, so let's see if this works. Peopleofwalmart.com. Oh, try it again. Peopleofwalmart.com. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it comes out real. Yeah, it came out. Awesome. I'll check that out later.
You'll have to. It's insane. It's stupid.
Okay, where were we? Okay, Full Metal Jacket, that was number 5. Number 4, the Freedom Speech from Braveheart.
Hey, so I've seen that.
Freedom!
I remember, dude, I watched that when you had to rent it from, Blockbuster, and it was 2 tapes.
Like, yeah.
Remember that? It was like, oh, those are the days. Remember Blockbuster?
This is a long movie. Well, I remember seeing Star Wars Episode 4 on VHS, and
that's how old school you are. You said VHS.
Yes. And you know how now they have the DVD extras? This had the deleted scenes at the end. So how much do you want to see those deleted scenes? You have to fast forward for three minutes to get to the end of the movie.
And I'm sure you did.
Before you can watch them. Yes, I did. Number 3, St. Crispin's Day speech in Henry V.
Guess what?
Never seen it. Me neither. I haven't seen that one. Number 2, the Patton speech in Patton.
Never seen it.
Well, see, here's a great line from Patton. He said, "It is not your job to die for your country. It is your job to make that other poor son of a bitch die for his country."
That's actually nice.
I like that line a lot.
I'm realizing something right now, though.
What's
I'm
that?
I'm not very manly, because all these movies that are manly movies that you've watched,
yeah,
I've never even. Yeah.
Well, see, it doesn't mean you're not. You're so manly, you don't need to go see these movies to be more man, to kind of bolster your manliness. I kind of need. I'm the one wearing the dress and Tarjay.
It's true.
So I think. I need these manly movies to bolster my manliness. Number 1 on the list, Charlie Chaplin's speech in The Great Dictator.
Wait, isn't that motherfucker the dude that never talks?
He does a lot. He did a lot of comedic films and silent films, but this is
all of a sudden he had a serious one. You can't go from like
not only did he go from comedy to serious, he went from silent to a speaking and it was a speech that got number 1 on the best speeches of all time. So
I don't like this guy's list. You can't be a mute and then all of a sudden have the best speech ever. That's just because, like, Eddie Murphy would put it best. Or what, Eddie Murphy.
Tell me the speech. Tell me the statement first.
Just like the crack. Talking about a cracker, like, you haven't been laid in a while, and some girl gives you, you finally get laid. You're gonna think it's the best thing ever.
Oh, but yeah, that was Eddie Murphy.
I don't know why I kept saying Murray.
It's like, but anyway, actually, I had a thing I was talking about that once. I was like, if your girlfriend, if a girl's dating a guy, okay, and she makes him wait, she has no right to get pissed off when he only lasts 30 seconds.
That's true.
You made him wait 6 months before he could have sex. You know why he only lasted 30 seconds? Because they haven't had sex in 6 months. Okay, it's your own damn fault. And you know what? If he does last a long time, he's been cheating on you.
Is that how you look at it?
And the other thing is, If she made you wait for 6 months and she's not tight.
Okay, here we go.
She didn't wait.
You just think everybody's cheating on you, don't you?
Yes. Well, you know, it comes from when I was in the Navy, honestly. I was on the USS Puget Sound. It was a repair ship. There were 1,600 person in the crew. There were 600 women on board. And from the way everyone talked, I'm the only person who didn't have sex with everyone else on that boat.
Well, they do just, like, bunk up and bump up.
Well, you know, you're out to sea for 45 days, and what are you going to do?
Yeah, what do you do? Like, okay.
Well, you know, I went on 2 6-month med cruises, and the amazing thing to me was I would see married people who would couple up with another married person the day after we left Norfolk, Virginia. And they would be together. They'd go out on liberty together, and they'd be – it'd be like they're a couple the whole med cruise. And as soon as we get back, they don't even say goodbye. They just turn and walk away from each other, go back to their own spouse.
Well, they needed some action. Okay, I got to ask you. You probably know, like, oh, what the hell? Fuck it. Who cares? So what do you do on a boat? Like,
Well, we run a lot of combat drills. I was an electronics technician, so I had to do preventive maintenance on the equipment all the time.
I meant jerking off wise. Like, what happens? Like, I can't go 3 days.
Right now I jerk off twice a day, and I have a girlfriend who actually touches my pee-pee once in a while, so I'm horrible.
But at the same time, on a boat, like, I can't imagine, like, being away from the house.
You jerk off. I mean, what do you mean?
There's people around. Like, what do you do?
Get in your bunk, you close the curtain, and hope that nobody notices. If someone says, "Hey, why are we on a boat? The boat's rocking back and forth, so no one notices the motion." I guess I don't know. I mean, you jerk off. What do you think you do? You jerk off.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, I'd be afraid of someone, like, just being like, "Hey,"
like, they do.
Oh, that pissed me off.
I got interrupted a couple of times. I got pissed off. I was like, "Dude, either help me or leave me alone."
Wow, I'm learning a lot about Joel I didn't need to know.
What?
Help me out.
Help me or leave me alone.
Why are you interrupting me? I don't know, because you didn't close your curtain.
What are you doing in there? You know what I'm doing in here. I'm doing the same thing that were doing 5 minutes ago.
Women would just go around and just boink on everybody?
Well, no, some would go around and boink on everybody, and there were some where the guy and the girl would just couple up.
Made up.
You know, that each of them are married to someone else back in the world.
Wow.
You know, we'd leave on a med cruise, and they would be together the whole time, and they might have just been going out together and hanging out.
Yeah, that's
they
what
might not
do.
Have been fucking.
That's what you want to do. You're not going to hang out with someone unless you're boning.
You know. Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can't. I can't be friends with a girl.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I'm not mature enough. I really. You know. I hear. Oh, well, we're just friends. I can't. I want to fuck her. I do. You know. Now that I have a girlfriend, that's actually. I'm okay with it now. I think, but I don't think my girlfriend would want me to be friends with a girl, because then she would start getting jealous.
That's because you're so sexy.
I am a sexy bitch. I am.
Well, I mean, the thing, too, is, like, you know, if you're out on a boat, I would imagine, like, first of all, you don't want, like, a holding hand movie buddy. Like, that's not the reason they're hanging out. Like, they need to bump things together. Like, that's why they're...
Well, I mean, everyone needs someone to talk to, too. But, I mean, you got other guys for that, and women could have other girls for that. You know, when I first got to my ship... A girl came up to me. I flew out to Rota, Spain to meet it. It was about 3 weeks into its a med cruise when I was transferred to the Puget Sound. A girl who I worked with asked me if I wanted to go out with her and her friends to get something to eat later that day. We're in Rota, Spain, and we went to a Chinese restaurant that was owned by Chinese people. See, that's how Chinese people are going to take over the world. They're going to spread their restaurants all over, and then one day they're just going to poison us all. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Okay, I'm scared.
This is the conspiracy.
I'm not scared of Chinese food. I'm scared of you.
But it really seemed odd to me that I went all the way to Rota, Spain to have Chinese food. I went all the way to Rota, Spain for chicken fried rice. Really? I mean, that's just absurd. But I'm sitting there at the table, and I'm listening to them talk, and they're talking about blowjobs and you know, and sex, and how big this guy is or that guy is. And one of them turns to look at me and says, "Are we embarrassing you?" I said, "No, actually, you're kind of exciting me." But none of them fucked me.
Well, I mean,
I'm great. I'm girlfriends now. Thanks. I just got to the boat. That was my first day. I was still a virgin at the time.
You probably just reaped that too. Like, and you could just smell it on you.
They probably couldn't. They're like, "Oh, he's a virgin." Well, you know, the first person I did have sex with, the reason she had sex with me was because I was a virgin.
Really?
She wanted to fuck a virgin.
And she's like, at the end, she's like, "Why did I do this?"
Pretty much. No, actually, you know what? I didn't finish. She came like that. She was really excited to be having sex with a virgin. She just came almost immediately. It was like two pumps, it was over. She was done. And, you know, I still don't think it counts because, you know.
So you're still a virgin?
Because I didn't finish. No, I'm not still a virgin. I've had sex since then. Thank you. Thank you for the vote of confidence. I really appreciate it. Asshole. On that note, we're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics. We're not virgins, and we'll be right back.
At least one of us not.
I hate you.
Are we done with the
list? This is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics. We're back. Where were we when we left?
I know we finished the list.
We finished the list. All right. Well, you know what? We were in the middle of something, and I don't remember what, and it would take up too much effort to go back and look. Sorry to all our listeners. We're going to just move on. The 559 text of the week. Now, there's this website called textfromlastnight.com, and they have a bunch of text messages people send in that are obviously alcohol and or drug-induced. Mm-hmm. And so I go there, and one thing about the website is they list the area code from which the text message came. So I want to support my town. So I go to the website every week. I type in 559 in the search, and I find a text from the 559 area code, hopefully from Fresno, but you know it's in the 559 area code to mention on the podcast. So the 559 text of the week is... No, I Googled it. Apparently, male thongs are the next Snuggie, and a lot of guys are wearing them for support.
Wow.
Are you wearing a thong?
I don't think I have anything on. No, I'm a boxer brief guy.
I wear boxer briefs, too.
Like, I don't like that in between. I can't do tidy whities because that's too much warmth and comfort.
Well, the tidy whities I found are uncomfortable. They ride up too easily and everything. So I just tried boxer briefs and they don't ride up into my nuts and everything so much. So they're a lot better.
We're learning way too much about each other.
Yes, we are.
Well, imagine that. More tutoring going on.
More Asian people tutoring. I wonder if they're doing math.
Wow. What? I keep looking in here. I thought they were looking at us. They're looking
at the equation on the whiteboard.
Like, oh, see? That's easy.
They don't care about us.
Yeah, it's probably.
This is like porn to them.
It's morn. It's called morn. It's math porn.
Math porn.
Let's get off the horrible. Pie.
All right. Do you want to do a few news stories before we go?
We're going to leave?
Well, we only have the room until 1:30, but we got one segment left. We got about 13 minutes left in the show.
I say we just do whatever.
Tear this place apart.
Until someone comes in.
Okay. I just want to say I hate it when old people do cool shit that I haven't done. Mary Ellen Hardison, a 101-year-old grandmother from Ogden, Utah, has officially been recognized as the oldest female to paraglide tandem, an achievement described Tuesday by Guinness World Records as, quote, a celebration of the official start of spring and life rejuvenated. So 101-year-old woman, a tandem, of course, means you have a person up there with you, but paragliding.
Like what, her nurse?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope she crapped on the dude who was
when I'm old, I don't want to do shit like that. Like, fuck it. I'm not that old. I'm going to sit around in my sweatpants because I've earned it. Like, I've always... You ever see people, it's like they're in their sweatpants and you're like, you know what? You've earned that.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be out gliding across shit.
You know, the sweatpants, I don't mind people just walking around in those. It's the pajamas that bug me.
But pajamas can be a form of sweats.
I don't know about that. I mean, like, where I work, they have a pajama day every Friday. It's like pajamas day, and people wear pajamas to work.
That'd be scary, because where you work, there's some weird fucking
people. Plus, I sleep naked, so people hate it when I show up in my...
I get it to the day.
There are some scary people at the IRS. I mean, it's a job where you sit on your butt all day, and your butt gets bigger and bigger. I mean, there's some impressive...
I banged a chick one time that worked there, and it was annoying, because, like, when she talked like this. So every time she talked, her voice always went up. And that hell was annoying because it happened when we bucked. But it was like, oh my God, is this good for you? And it's like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. I was like, oh my God.
I like how you went down.
I did, because I was like, it was like one of those, like, I was doing it and I'm like, I'm done with this. Like, tap out.
Tap out.
Because I'm like, this is, like, I was, seriously, I just got up and was like, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this. Why? Oh my God! Why can't you do this?
Oh, that feels good. Will you rub my clit while you do that?
I'm almost there.
That's horrible,
dude. It was. I hope you. You know what's funny too is because I know she still works there because she's weird. Huh. You're gonna run into someone one day and you're gonna.
What's her name? Maybe I know.
I couldn't even tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, next time I run, if I run into someone who works there who talks like this,
dude, it was because it was funny because she
have you fucked Carl Gray? How did you know?
No, dude, it was so bad too because like she's
talking. You know his number. He was really good.
I couldn't tell your name. Oh. That's the story of my life. it was so bad because it was like we were talking. Of course, you know, you have to do like, I can't just bone you right away. I have to meet up somewhere in public so I make sure you're not completely crazy. Hmm. Like not crazy enough to kind of know where I might live. But it was like she's talking, but all I hear is bum ba bum ba 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 bum ba bum ba 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 bum ba bum ba ba. And I was like,
it's bad when the cadence is more clear than the words.
Yeah, and that's how you know you have a problem too. And even like bum ba bum ba ba, I'm like, I'm still gonna do it. I know I'm gonna go home with her. I was like, oh my god, that's so bad. It's like, oh.
So see, we should just stick with hookers. It's cheaper.
I've never.
Yeah, neither have I.
You're actually such a liar. Now you're backpedaling. I don't know if you heard that was JT hitting a wall.
I don't have the guts to go to a hooker. Okay, I would be too afraid that it would be some police setup and I get arrested. I'm too much of a coward to go to try to go to a prostitute.
I just couldn't do that in general. I don't get how people do that. Mm. I don't even like paying like dancers or anything like that. It's like,
you know, I've been to strip clubs and You enjoy it at the time, of course, because a pretty girl is rubbing up against your cock. But I'm still going home alone, and it's like, you know what? I don't like to window shop. it's like the same reason I don't wander through the mall. It's like if I can't afford to like buy it and take it with me,
you're paying for something you're not going to get, and it's like,
yeah,
it's like, you know, it's like buying scratchers.
Yeah,
just you could actually get something that'll make you scratch.
Yeah.
My god, I'm gonna do the rest of the podcast like this. So Joel, what do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about Paul McCartney. He has a new album out called Kisses on the Bottom, which is disturbing enough as it is. Kisses on the Bottom, he's tonguing his wife's booty. That's what the whole album is about.
He's still married to that lady, missing a leg, or did he divorce her?
It's an album of look at what.
Look, sorry, but look, they're getting all close. Like they're having a tutor date, and she doesn't know what to do. Sorry, I totally ruined what you're talking about, but that was just really not cute. But
yeah,
sorry, continue.
Wow, that was it looked a little awkward.
Rapey. It looked a little
not quite rapey. They're not. It's 12-year-old kids or something, or 16. You think?
Like, look at him. He's like, look
waving
at me.
Waving his hands around. Like, look at me. See how cool I am.
Look, she's got that face like that. Oh, my God. When's the hour up?
This is not worth the $10.
I know. It's like, oh, my God. This isn't about math anymore.
All right. So Paul McCartney's new album, Kisses on the Bottom. It is. It was advertised as a new. It's love songs. It's an album of, quote, standards.
And standards means?
Standards are like well-known songs that a lot of people have done. So basically, covers? Paul McCartney just did an album of covers.
Yeah, but that's stupid. But at the same time, who can get away with it? Paul McCartney.
Well, I don't think that's right, though. I mean, come on. It's like, you know.
Hey, and if a knight does it, it's okay.
When? No, no.
He protects you. He protects the homeland.
Sinatra did it, too, and I didn't like that.
But he wasn't a knight.
That's true.
If he was a knight, you'd be like, you know what?
He's the closest America has to a knight, though, really, I think.
Probably.
It'd be like Frank Sinatra and John Wayne and like Cary Grant. You know, that's all, you know.
People. I only knew Frank.
England has royalty, and we've got movie stars.
That's true.
So, but seriously, though, I mean, at this point in his career, shouldn't he be writing his own songs? I mean,
but
you know, I could if a brand new musician, you know, a new musical artist out there, you know, they haven't had, you know, they've just been doing it a few years, they're just starting to get into the clubs and playing, they want to sing other people's songs, okay, I can forgive that. But Paul McCartney's been doing this for longer than I've been alive. He should be writing his own shit. You know, I want to put out an album of comedy covers or of comedy. I'm going to put out an album of comedy standards.
So you're going to take. I'm not stealing people's
jokes.
Chick.
They're standards. I'm going to do jokes about dating a black chick. I'm going to take your jokes about dating a black chick.
Blueberry jokes.
I'm going to take Bill Cosby's joke about the dentist. I would take the one about teaching his kid to play football, but Carlos Mencia already did a standard of that.
Why don't you do Chris Rock's the N-word?
Chris Rock's the N-word?
Like they're assuming black people in the N-word. Oh, you're not going to go that far in your standards?
I have my own version of that joke already, actually.
Here we go.
Well, yeah, he's black, and he talks about how much he hates black
people.
I'm white, and I have a bit about how I hate white people. No, so I do have my own version of that one. Yeah, I do. And if you want to come and see my comedy show sometime.
And I haven't seen you on stage in a long time.
Well, yeah, like I said, I've been working even.
Isn't it weird when like real life gets involved with our fantasy world?
Yeah, the real life sucks.
I don't know.
I was going to be moving down to LA this summer to actually pursue a comedy career.
But then
I went and I met a woman who was willing to touch my pee-pee once in a while. And
isn't that funny how things just change?
Yeah, it is.
It's so true, though. It's like
I love her. I do. But there's a part of me that wishes we hadn't met. Because then I wouldn't be giving up on my dreams.
I can't wait. You know, if you guys break up, I can't wait to hear that. You know what? I take that back. You're not giving up on your dreams. You'll figure out a way to manage both of them.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to set that line. Where like, listen, what's your name?
Marie.
Listen, bitch. There's this line.
Really?
This line in between. Like, I want to do comedy. That's what I want to do. I don't want to work at the Earth forever. You're going to have to deal with it. This is who I am. I'm a serial killer comedy joke motherfucker. That's what you have to do. That's a weird thing, too. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with that. If she's going to be okay with that.
Well,
because it takes a fucked up woman to be okay with comedy.
That's true. She doesn't seem to mind at this point, but you know, we're not like living together or anything yet. You know, and you know, we're not married, we're just dating each other right now. So once it progresses past that, I suspect there will end up being a little bit of friction.
A little bit of friction.
I'm sure. Because, you know, she came with me to see a comedy show once, and she didn't think it was all that funny. Of course, she was a little upset that night anyways.
Why? Just because?
Well, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
I actually, you know what? We only got like 4 minutes left in the show. So
wow, what a pussy!
I know. I'll tell you real quick.
He records his own podcast. He's like, all of a sudden, I got 4 minutes. So I try to keep jerking off all day. But I'm just kidding.
I try to keep it under 1 hour, and we're at 57 minutes right now. But I'll just put it out there real quick. She's a nurse, and I do data entry at the IRS. She makes like 5 times as much money as I do, and I will never make anywhere near as much as she does. I mean, that's just reality. So she. So that means I'm broke, and I'm trying to date. You know, I'm trying to take her out, and I can't afford to. And she knows I don't have money, so she was really uncomfortable with, you know, that night. She was uncomfortable with the fact that she knew that she thought, well, maybe I couldn't really afford to take her out. So she was uncomfortable ordering anything. And you know, honestly, the money doesn't bother me, but it seems to bother her.
She'll get used to that, though.
That she thinks it's going to bother me because her last, her husband when she was married, he didn't work at all. He didn't do anything. He just kind of mooched off of her. So I don't know. Maybe she's afraid that I'm looking for a sugar mama or something, which I'm not. Or maybe she's afraid that it's gonna end up causing a lot of friction because the man's ego is. You know, I don't have any ego. I have no dignity or self-respect. I realized a long time ago that dignity and self-respect, all they do is keep you from doing stuff you want to do.
I recommend next date lead with that. Be like, listen, honey, I don't have any dignity. I don't have any self-respect. I don't have any of that. I'm yours.
I've already done that. And
oh, God.
She said, really? No, she didn't do it. I haven't said that yet. But I probably should. You're probably right, though. But actually, we're out of time. I try to keep the show at an hour. We're almost at 59 minutes now. Carl, you got any shows coming up? Anything exciting you're doing in there?
No, I'm just going to do some open mics and work from there.
Okay.
I got to get back into it. I haven't been in there forever, so I got to ride the bike again. I got to put the training wheels back on. And
yeah.
Cool. It's weird too, because you look at your material and it's like, oh, my material's old. I got to do stuff that's dated to me now. So I've been writing a lot. But yeah. What about you?
Well, I've been working on some new material, but unfortunately I haven't had a chance to go to any comedy shows for a while because all the open mics are during the week. I actually drove down to L.A. to do the open mic at Meltdown Comics on Sunday night a couple weeks ago.
How'd that go? Didn't get on?
I got on. It was great, but you know, all the open mics there, you get 3 minutes. Ugh. So I drove 4 hours there and 4 hours back to do 3 minutes. So it's, I'm kind of an idiot. I mean, I spent $80 in gas to do 3 minutes.
That's why you gotta find.
So I feel like a dumbass.
You gotta find someone that'll do it with you, but you gotta find someone that'll do it with you that has money.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the worst part. Like when all these comedies do these trips, and it's like, no one has money. It's like $8
total. Well, we're all comedians, so we don't have any money. Yeah. But thanks a lot for coming to the show, Carl Gray. Thank you. I'm JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye bye.
Peace.